Hello and welcome to Brain Trust Live number 322.
This week on the podcast, Jeffrey Epstein spontaneously combusted in prison this week. That was the story, right?
And Joe Biden doesn't know the difference between white and wealthy. And that explains so much.
The third Democratic debate might just be an appetizer to a bigger, badder, annoyinger fourth debate that includes the whole gang plus Tom Steyer.
Plus, in a surprising turn of events, Mitch McConnell and his supporters are assholes.
Donald Trump is in favor of all the positions on gun control, except the one where we do something beyond talk.
And have we started impeachment hearings without knowing it?
We'll have all this and more.
This is Brain Trust Live. Hey guys, I'm Brent.
I'm Lila, and you can find us on the web at www.braintrustlive.com.
That is right.
That's correct. Find us there, rate us on iTunes, leave a comment.
Yeah, and follow us on social media before
Thursday.
Right.
Area.
Because we're going to Iowa.
We're going to
unfortunately, everybody
around.
Was already there this weekend, but we're hoping that things will still be happening. And as a person who grew up there, I know that things still will be happening.
I was going to say, things...
So we will have some fun...
Hopefully, will still be happening.
Fun Des Moines/Iowa State Fair content.
That's right.
For you.
That's right. We're going there specifically on a mission to chase sort of political content.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, so... So be ready for that. Follow us on social media. We're just at Brain Trust Live at everything.
Everywhere. Yes.
And you may have woken up yesterday to find that a really exciting conspiracy theory was the first thing that greeted you.
I love conspiracy theories.
Oh my God.
Especially because this one seems like there might be something to it. I mean,
and
not
it involves
that,
the president.
I was going to say, not the conspiracy theory that Donald Trump tweeted yesterday that Jeffrey Epstein was murdered by the Clintons.
That's right.
There's nothing to that.
Well, also, if I
probably
could
anyway,
have guessed, I saw someone tweet earlier today, Hillary Clinton could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and do nothing and still be accused of killing
right,
Jeffrey Epstein. You know,
that's so good. Yeah.
But of course the Clintons were going to be blamed for this.
Yeah, of course.
Anytime that anything suspicious happens in Washington, that's everyone's first conspiracy theory.
It was suspicious enough that like the conspiracy theories were making their way into mainstream media. And not just because Donald Trump tweeted them, but because the circumstances were so crazy.
Right.
We're going to get to those in
exactly.
a second. But
so
like,
Jeffrey Epstein... Yeah. Our favorite sex trafficker du jour.
Sure.
Committed suicide yesterday morning in his cell. He hung himself in his cell.
Yeah.
And there were... This was right after some accusations came out that we will get to that maybe made him being a person who exists complicated for a number of powerful people.
Right. Like, literally the day before this happened.
Right.
So
the day
the
before this
the timing of it was what was, I think, playing into the conspiracy.
I remember my mom was like, damn it, he died. I need to get to the computer fast enough to make sure I don't lose the article I was going to read yesterday about the accusations against him.
Right. Yeah,
because now we're just going to hear about his stupid death.
Yeah.
But so, aside from the fact that in right-wing circles they were sharing...
Right.
A conspiracy theory that somehow the Clintons were responsible for
the death. And also in this conspiracy theory, it was saying that he was on suicide watch, which he wasn't at the time. He had been. But there were, besides the fact that it was just sort of like cuckoo crazy, there were factual inaccuracies that you might think would be in a conspiracy theory coming from some right-wing wacko that was being retweeted by the president.
Right. So what happened was Epstein had been on suicide watch and he was taken off of it. The reason he was on suicide watch... was because he had been found unresponsive in his cell with marks on his neck three weeks ago.
Right. There were some questions whether that was
self-inflicted
or whether he had been assaulted. But he was basically put on suicide watch at the time, and then he was put in a specific part of the jail.
Which was solitary.
Basically.
Listen, if we've learned anything from Orange is the New Black, which I've been watching recently,
because
the new season came out months ago and I forgot to watch it, he was in SHU.
Yeah,
SHU
exactly.
being solitary confinement.
Right, the special housing unit.
Right, they put him in solitary. Yeah,
right.
They put him in solitary because that's what you do when someone's on suicide watch.
Yeah.
And especially when someone is wanted by every rich and important person in the world. But it's also a great place to have a conspiracy and secretly kill someone. So a lot of people have been speculating about how self-inflicted all of these injuries were. The thing that I think made everyone additionally suspicious is that though his circumstances had in no way changed since the last time they found him unresponsive in his cell, he was just taken off suicide watch recently for reasons unknown. And he was still supposed to be monitored, though. And he was not being monitored. So he was in a chronically understaffed jail.
Yes.
That, you know, we're learning a lot about how chronically understaffed all the jails are now. But he was not being monitored at the time. And so someone came back and found him having been hung in his
house. And regardless of what, and I think the big reason why we've sort of been dealing in some conspiracy theories is because that regardless of whether it was actually a conspiracy or whether it was just negligence.
It was one of those, it's
fairly clear that he should still be alive.
Right.
And so that's why I think everyone is so up in arms about this and is looking for answers. Obviously, it's going to be investigated. I think various agencies have said that they're going to investigate it, including the Department of Justice.
Right.
I don't know that I trust them to
I was
going to
say,
it, but
I'm not sure that they're necessarily the right sources for that investigation. But also, the reason, like, he's somebody who we were still looking for answers from. So the distraction over whether or not this is a conspiracy that he died is going to be problematic in that we wanted to know who was in his ring, who he was serving or servicing in his sex trafficking ring that he was running. And he was the man with the answers.
Right. And part of the reason why we want those answers is because we already have some of those answers.
They were not great answers.
And they were not great answers. Right. We obviously would have gotten more from him, assuming that he would have
cooperated.
But we, as you mentioned, the story came out Friday that there was this decades-old case, the one that he basically was not
charged.
That he was not charged for, which is insane when you read about what was in these. The documents from that case were opened on Friday.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of bombshells in it.
There was a lot of testimony from a lot of people saying a lot of things, naming a lot of people that are real people that we know of. And so one of his accusers was somebody who was making a claim against his ex-girlfriend, who was supposedly
the one who was
procuring the sex traffickees.
Right.
And so this was somebody who Virginia Giuffre is. I don't know how to say her name. I haven't heard her. Yeah.
Giuffre.
I don't know. Yeah. Joffrey.
Yeah.
Anyway, she was accusing Epstein's girlfriend of, you know, procuring women for to service various powerful and important men. But she names names in her testimony, and the names include, this was in 2016 she gave this testimony, and she said that she specifically had been instructed to serve / have sex with Bill Richardson, former New Mexico Democratic governor, Prince Andrew, Britain's Prince Andrew.
We'll get to him in a second, by the way.
a financier
yes.
named Glenn Dubin.
Yep.
George Mitchell, who used to be the Senate Majority Leader. Yep. I love a modeling scout named Jean-Luc Brunel. I don't know why that's in all the articles. Who is that?
Yeah, we don't care.
A scientist named Marvin Minsky.
Sure.
But they also, she also says that among the other people were another prince, a foreign president, a well-known prime minister, and the owner of a large hotel chain.
Ooh.
Drama. Mm-hmm. Drama.
Whether that's Trump or not, it's certainly a Republican.
Exactly. Right. Is it Sheldon?
Not that it matters, because Bill Richardson is in here, too. I mean, this crossed party lines. And we know he had been friendly with Trump. We know that he had been friendly with the Clintons, which is how we got the Clinton conspiracy. So, I mean, it turns out old, powerful men of all parties diddle young women, apparently. Yeah.
Remember the D.C. Madams list. I mean, that had everyone on it.
Oh, yeah,
This is a thing that's going
on. Yeah, it's about Richard Power. It's not about party.
Exactly. Yeah. I do love that we're so focused on the Clintons here, and they're, like, the least surprising people you could find on this list. Like, if someone told me that there was, like, a sex trafficking ring going on in Washington and the Clintons weren't on that list, I would be like, how did they miss out?
Somebody forgot about Bill Clinton.
Like, of all, like, I'm surprised to see Bill Richardson there. Not that I am surprised in retrospect, but he wasn't someone whose name was on the tip of my tongue when I would have guessed, you know. Like, there are people that I'm surprised to see on this list. I feel like the Clintons don't even, why would they be surprised to find themselves on this? Why would they kill this guy?
Right.
When this is a thing that we would have guessed about them without even knowing that Jeffrey Epstein was involved.
Right.
We already inherently knew this about Bill Clinton. Yeah. So we didn't.
Oh, Bill Clinton
doesn't need to keep this secret.
Young women?
Right. He doesn't need them to keep a secret for him. The secret was let out. They're the only people on earth who haven't gotten away with this behavior in the history of Washington. So in any case, I do think it's funny that we always immediately focus on the Clintons as if the Clintons would need to kill Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah.
They're the only people on this list that don't need to kill him. Their secret is out.
Right.
It's already known. In any case.
Epstein's former house manager testified as part of this case that she saw over 100 girls serving Epstein at his home in Palm Beach over 10 years.
Yeah.
So lots of young girls coming being trafficked through this whole situation.
Yeah, and there was somebody who was a house manager for friends of his who said that a distraught 15-year-old girl in 2005 said she was being pressured to have sex on Epstein's private island, and that this was a personal assistant to Epstein, and that they took her passport and phone away.
Right, she was basically kept...
Or no, the personal assistant took her passport and phone away.
Right, exactly. I said that wrong. Kept against her will, so basically.
Exactly. And then, but also, the girl whose testimony named all of these men, Bill Richardson, whatever, her father was worked at Mar-a-Lago.
Yes.
Which is another bizarre, intriguing connection here.
Well, most valuable employee in a letter signed by Donald Trump.
That's right. And he worked in the maintenance crew.
Yeah.
But she got trafficked to Prince Andrew and... describe some weird circumstances.
Right. Apparently the prince touched the woman's breast.
This is a different woman.
Oh, a different woman, right. Because, they were both there,
right.
I believe.
They were both there.
Yes.
It was two women. Neither of them have pronounceable last names, and we're sorry about that.
Right, sorry about
It's like Joburg and Joffrey or something.
But apparently Prince Andrew used a puppet in this sexual encounter.
Yeah, that's right. So he was into some weird stuff, you guys.
Yes.
But also, Palm Beach police found receipts in Epstein's trash for books he had purchased on Amazon about sadomasochism and sex slaves.
Yeah, and they had also found evidence of child pornography on his computer and video of these underage girls in the house. And I feel like now is an important time to remember after we told you all of these things, you know, like 15-year-old girls being held against their will, hundreds of young underage women over 10 years, child pornography, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All the things that we just said. This was why we were all up in arms when we heard about this not that long ago, because the U.S. Attorney's Office initially declined to press any charges.
And that was in 2007.
As part of this case.
Yeah.
They had all of this evidence.
They knew all of this.
At the time, they knew all of this. They investigated all of this.
Except for the stuff that continued to happen after 2007, because apparently it did.
Right, because, and then instead, he just pled guilty to two minor state prostitution charges.
Yeah.
And that was... you know, led to some conspiracy theories when all of this stuff came out, you know, fairly recently. Because, like, how on earth...
did he get away with this?
Did he... was he not charged with something worse than state prostitution charges
because
initially?
He knew powerful people and he had powerful secrets on those powerful people in the same way... I'm finally listening to Bagman.
Oh,
I know
yeah.
I'm behind the times.
That's
I listened to it basically in one sitting. I'd been mad at Rachel Maddow because she never... gets to the point in her show.
Yeah, she talks for like 40 minutes about one thing. And
it's not relevant to anything. And then you're like, well, I'm glad I know that side fact about a side story that was a side. It's only relevant in terms of how it metaphorically relates to the news, but okay.
Right.
But so I finally, I got recommended to me again, and so I finally listened to it. And I feel like that was like, the Spiro Agnew case was like the perfect example of a powerful man who had powerful secrets, not just... again, you know, he was trying to keep his own secrets because he was into some weird shit.
He's trying to keep the president's secrets.
He was trying to keep the president's secret. He was keeping his own secrets. He
was
because he was apparently his personal life was not the upstanding conservative figure's personal life that you would hope for. And shocking, shocking. And they needed something from him because he knew a lot of secrets. He knew a lot of rich and powerful people, and he had their secrets.
Yeah,
he knew who was whose money he was taking.
Right.
He knew, you know. So he like this is. I feel like a fatal flaw with our justice system is at a certain point, the justice system needs more from these powerful men than, you know, they need their help more than they need them to be prosecuted for the things they've actually done. And so they don't get held to the same standard.
Right. Yeah. These are such small, like, insular circles of, like, these rich and powerful people.
Yeah.
So it's like when one person can basically, as long as they cooperate, then it's like they just... don't have to.
Right.
They don't have to be charged with anything themselves.
Jeffrey Epstein just went to jail recently.
Yes.
This is a man who's been out there.
Right. All of this information that we just told you was from this case
in 2007. Was known to everyone. Right.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, there are people sitting in jail on like life sentences over drug violations.
Right.
Just FYI.
Yeah.
Jeffrey
Epstein just chilling out there.
Just chilling with his zillions of dollars and his private islands and his sex trafficking ring.
Yeah.
There's no big deal.
Yeah.
Who cares about 15-year-old girls? Nobody. In any case. This case does have all of the elements of an exciting conspiracy theory to the extent that multiple people reference the fact that killing him would have been right out of Putin's playbook
as
soon as the news of his death broke. And I was like, oh, we're living in crazy times.
We are
living in crazy times.
Yep.
In any
case,
moving on to our actual raison d'etre, which is electoral news.
Right.
Biden had the most peak Biden week he's ever had.
Yeah.
Joe Biden is a man who fucks up.
Right.
That's his brand.
In terms of having Biden in the race for entertainment purposes, I feel like he finally lived up to those this week.
He really came in strong with...
He's just been sort of like boring and doddering up until now.
Right. And like a little grumpy.
Right.
This time he came in with some classic Biden gaffes.
Yeah.
The first being that he couldn't really keep straight where the mass shootings were all happening.
Right.
He said they were in Houston and Michigan.
Oh, boy.
That's not even close.
Not close.
And then, no. But Trump also.
Trump did the same thing.
Trump did the same thing.
In a speech,
he said, God bless Toledo.
I mean, come on.
I get that Ohio, Dayton and Toledo are generically the same place.
God bless Toledo and Bowling Green.
That's right. Right? Exactly. But I also feel like as president, you should. The one fact you should keep in mind about a mass shooting is where it was. It's one of the only ones. That and don't put your thumbs up in a photo of a baby whose parents were killed in a mass shooting.
That they had to bring back to the hospital for the photo op.
Exactly. Yeah. Don't do any of it.
Yeah.
Stay home and don't speak to the public if you're Donald Trump this weekend.
Yeah.
But back to Biden. He had an even more exciting and bigger gaffe.
Yeah.
He's had three, by the way. So this is only number two of the three exciting gaffes that he had this week, where he said, poor kids are just as talented as white kids.
Ooh.
Come on. He then corrected himself because he says he meant wealthy kids.
Right.
But wealthy and white are interchangeable, right?
Sure.
And that Biden's policy reflects that.
Yeah.
So it makes perfect sense.
Yeah. And he also told reporters like pretty quickly after that that people understood what he was trying to say.
Ah, sure.
Which is...
He should be able to say whatever he wants and we should just go out of our way to understand it.
What I was trying to say is that white means wealthy.
Right.
And black means poor.
Exactly.
And also...
People understood that.
And also sometimes I have to remind myself...
Not to say the wrong one.
Not to say the wrong thing and have to remind myself... That black kids are just as smart as white kids.
Right. Right. I need to reiterate a thing that is not, to me, common sense.
Right.
So that I remember it.
Yes.
But I don't always get the words right.
Yikes. Yeah.
So that was too bad. Then on Saturday, when he was talking about gun control, as everyone was, he forgot when his term as VP began and ended. Because he said that those kids in Parkland came up to see me when I was vice president, which... If they did, was prescient because the shooting had not happened yet when he was vice president.
I know.
And that would indicate to me that he was in a position to stop the shooting.
I know.
But unfortunately,
yeah,
it happened over a year after he left office.
As someone, as you mentioned earlier today, could travel through space and time.
Right.
It seems like...
That would be an interesting quality in a president.
It would be, yes. Yeah.
Then he had another just... unfortunate run-in.
Yeah, this one is so weird to me because, like, I just don't really know what to make of it.
No.
But anyway, he's walking around the fair and somebody came up to him. It was just, there were a million people around him and cameras and such, whatever, and asked him how many genders there were.
Oh, God.
And I don't know if you watched it. Did you watch it?
I haven't watched the clip yet.
It's very odd because he really sort of, like, very unflinchingly and matter-of-factly says, there are at least three.
Great.
And then, the questioner follows up in an attempt to get him to explain, and he says, don't play games with me, kid. And then...
It's always good to call people kid when you're running for president,
And then after that said, by the way, first one to come out for marriage was me. Which is where...
First one of who?
Which is where it went... I mean...
Awry.
I think the whole thing was...
Was awry.
Awry. Right. It started awry. I never corrected itself.
It stayed on an awry course.
Right. But... It was weird for a few reasons. I mean, a lot of reasons. But the two reasons that I can most clearly think of why it was weird. Oh, no. Lila has the giggles. She's red-faced.
Just explain.
I know. So it didn't have anything to do with anything. The marriage comment. Which was like, because I'm sure he, in his brain, sort of like, oh, I'm talking about LGBTQ issues.
I got to catch every one of the letters.
And I was the one who, speaking of gaffes, that was probably a gaffe when he said that was for gay marriage. Because he wasn't supposed to be saying that when he said it.
No.
If we remember.
Exactly.
Yes, he did say it before Obama, but,
first
he wasn't
who,
supposed to.
What was the list that he was first in? Because I would need him to qualify that comment anyway. He was certainly not the first in Washington.
No, I know.
The first in America.
Right.
He was he the first and of the two people in the White House?
And he also didn't say gay marriage either.
No,
so it almost sounds as though he may have invented the idea of the contract of marriage. Right. Yeah.
He was old enough to.
That's true. Yeah. But then this is what I feel like is the clearest thing that should have been clear to him. Because if you're a Democratic candidate for president and someone comes up to you and asks you how many genders there are, you know immediately that that's a fucking troll.
Yes. That is not a question that trans activists are running around asking presidential candidates.
That's right. Certainly not of Democratic ones. And no. Not to say that Joe Biden doesn't know because he gave a weird answer.
Right.
But, like, that person is a person who probably works for Turning Point USA, which is a right-wing college group. And actually, that's exactly where they do work for. It was a person from Turning Point.
Of course it was.
So it's like, obviously, you don't need to talk about your history on gay marriage with them. It was almost like he was sticking up because he thought this person was pressing him on not being progressive enough.
Oh, that's
on
exactly
LGBTQ
what happened.
Issues. And it's like, obviously, the correct response was to just punch this person in the face or ignore them. Maybe not punch them. But I mean, like,
usually as a presidential candidate, you want to stay away from punching.
Punching. Maybe don't do that.
You can punch them with your silence by walking away.
And like, it was weird to me that he didn't realize that's what was happening to him in the moment.
Well, but to him, this issue is so foreign that any question about it is, like, he doesn't have the context for this issue. He doesnn't run in circles where he's discussing trans issues with anyone. So to him, there is no way of delineating who would and would not ask what kind of question on this issue. This is, like, so outside of his comfort zone in the first place. He's been told, you can't just say two genders anymore.
Right.
So if whatever you need to say beyond two, just go wild, but don't commit to anything.
I know. At least three.
At least three.
At least three and up to
anyone,
a number that I
guessed.
Am not.
Right. There is a mathematical answer, but I just don't have the solution yet. Right. But so you like someone obviously told him we're not doing the two gender thing anymore.
Right.
Whatever you need to say.
Right.
That's your position now.
And also, if anything comes up to do with the LGBTQ
remember
issues,
to remind them that you were first of a list of an unknown number of people to come out for marriage.
Right.
Not any kind of marriage in particular, but you're pro-marriage, and that's what counts.
Ooh. Yeah, Joe.
As one of the oldest people in the race, he probably was one of the first to come out for general marriage.
Oh, I'm sure.
He would have been the first to have the ability to.
Oh, he's been pro-marriage
since the dawn of time.
Since when women were supposed to be home and cooking him dinner. Right. And
since just after they got the right to vote, he's been pro-marriage. In any case, the third debate field is widening slightly, but still on its way to being a smaller field, one hopes.
Right, I know. It was like, I feel like I have been a lot. I love these debates anyway. And if it just so happens that we have to have two nights of them again, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, no, let's
But there have been a decent amount of people who ask me about when there's going to be less of those people on stage.
Well,
and I always, my response is always, it's going to be the third one because it's a lot harder to get on there. And while that is true.
It's not
going to
be the fourth one.
But it's not going to be the fourth one for reasons we'll tell you in a second. But also, you still are going to have to watch a debate, presumably with 10 people on the stage.
It'll just be only 3 hours of that instead of 6 hours of that.
Right.
Which,
exactly.
6 hours was a lot to commit.
It's just going to be only the front runners. And by front runners, we mean still five people that only have 2 or 3% of the polls.
Exactly. So far, 9 candidates have qualified for debate number 3.
Right.
Biden, Sanders, Warren, Harris, Buttigieg, O'Rourke. I feel like I'm annoyed that he's even, like, if Gillibrand isn't in yet, like, O'Rourke does not deserve to be there.
Yeah.
Booker, Klobuchar, and Andrew Yang.
Just got
the
in
Yang
this week.
Yang gang doesn't fuck around.
No, they don't. He just got in this week with an Iowa poll that had him hilariously ahead of O'Rourke.
Well, of course, everyone is ahead of O'Rourke. We're ahead of O'Rourke. O'Rourke is not.
No.
O'Rourke is a man who is about to have to run for Senate.
Yeah.
And frankly,
and should.
Should.
Right. There was a story this week that I forgot to throw on here, but there's some rumblings that John Hickenlooper might be running for Senate in Colorado.
Another,
like, I think they bought a domain name and like some various other things. Like,
that's
some,
what,
moved some money
if,
around
if
or
they
the things
ran
that you
for
would
president
do.
Just to get themselves into a Senate race, I'm in.
Right. And now's
the
time.
And this is the time to make the switch.
Right.
But you know, also people, because I anecdotally I heard of a friend who has a close friend in Texas who is a Republican and was saying that she would be very excited to vote against Cornyn, who is not a controversial Republican, for either Beto or even for Castro. Which, and we were like, what's going on in Texas right now? But so, either of those two, could yeah. change their mind at yeah, any moment.
Exactly.
And Castro is not currently qualified for the debate.
No,
but,
he's not. So, right. We'll tell you, we've talked about it before, but we'll just give you a quick refresher because then we're going to tell you who is like getting close
who's on the way.
To who's on the way. Right. So you have to meet two thresholds. In the first two debates, you only had to meet one or the other
right.
threshold.
Right. You had to either poll a certain amount right. or have a certain number of donors.
Right. And they basically doubled that. It used yeah. to be 1% and 65,000. And this time it's 2% in four national or early state polls and 130,000 different people. So it's basically doubled. And you have to have both as opposed to one or the other.
And
so
you have to have 400 donors in at least 20 states as well.
Right. So you can't have all of your 130,000
right. from California.
From California. Yeah. Right. Which is, I have a feeling, a problem that Marianne Williamson is running
into. I would guess if I had to.
Yes.
That is.
But she hasn't met that threshold anyway.
No.
But so outside of those nine people, there are people who seem like maybe could still.
On the cusp.
Right. Because you have until the end of the month. I believe it's August 28th. So you've got some time. Certainly the polling threshold is the more difficult one.
Yeah, right. You can get 130,000 donors.
Like a lot of people are, well, not a lot of people, but people had the donor threshold much earlier than they had the poll, and they're just sort of like waiting and hoping for polls.
Yeah.
And you can't really do anything to get those
right.
either. You know what I mean? Like
you can just
buy a million Facebook ads to get the amount of donations that you need potentially. And like,
right. But that can make no difference in your polling.
Correct. Right. Yeah. So anyway, Julian Castro is very close. He has three out of the four qualifying polls and he has met the donor threshold. So he just needs one more
right.
poll, and it could be a national poll.
And that was where Yang was last week.
And that's where Yang was last week, and he made it. So
right.
he's still got like 2.5 weeks to get there. It seems like there's potential that could happen.
Right.
Tulsi Gabbard has met the donor threshold, and she has one of the four qualifying polls. So she's a little dicey, but yeah. again, it seems
right. Anything,
there's polls coming out
every
damn day.
Minute, yeah.
So, you know, and I don't know what they're counting as early states. Are they only counting Iowa right. and New Hampshire? They count, you
it's
know,
South
like,
Carolina.
What are they?
They're, you know.
I'm not entirely sure yeah. what that is. So, and then Tom Steyer, mysteriously, has three out of the four qualifying polls.
From who?
I know.
Are they all California polls? Is California an early state?
I mean, it seems like it should be.
I mean, if Tom Steyer's poll... I mean, Tom Steyer, though, has been running ads for president for himself, basically,
since
the dawn of time in every state.
Right.
So, you know.
Well, and it's interesting because... And I feel like this is a debate that we could have for, you know, 2024 as to what these thresholds are. Obviously, all of these thresholds are being made in response to sort of, like, how... people thought there was favoritism in the DNC
right.
Debates in 2016.
Right.
So I think that these are sort of a moving target. I think that we're going to continue to sort of like work these out. But the funny thing with Tom Steyer is that the reason I would assume is that he hasn't met the donor threshold is because he's a trillionaire.
Right. He hasn't
and
looked
so
for donors.
Every time, well, he's looking for them.
Right, right.
But it's
he
like, who
would donate to
every
him?
Every time I see a Facebook ad from him every day,
yeah.
and every time
I've
see it.
I've seen a commercial from him every
right.
day for the rest, for my entire life, basically.
And every time I see it, I laugh.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, why am I going to give that asshat any of my money? He has all of the world's money.
Exactly.
But, and I, you know, I am sort of come from the camp of like, we don't need a trillionaire sort of
right.
running in this race or running the country because that's
it's not working out
and that's not what we're looking for, but I don't necessarily think it should disqualify Tom Steyer
right.
from running for president either, and I feel like that is why a lot of people are probably not giving him any money, and so I'm not sure that that's really fair for him. I don't want Tom Steyer to be there, but like I don't know.
I don't
go
know.
Back and forth on
I
that.
I think that like, it's a fair because the reason that number exists is to make sure that you don't just have billionaires donating to your campaign.
Oh, and totally. 100%.
So if he actually is able to just self-finance his whole campaign without being responsive to any of his supporters,
sure.
then I don't think that he should get to be in
right.
the debates.
And the
like,
other
I think
it's
his problem that he's so fucking rich.
Well, right.
You
and,
know.
And also, you know.
I mean, it's our problem. It's America's problem.
Those donations don't have to be of a certain amount.
Right. So they could be a dollar.
So it could be a dollar. So it's like if you can't get 130,000 people to give you a dollar, even if you're rich,
yeah.
then.
Well, and a lot of candidates are openly saying we need it to qualify. It's
right.
like Gillibrand's ads, I'm getting targeted with them left, right, and center,
right.
are all like, donate a dollar so we can qualify.
Yeah.
You
right.
know? And for a
yeah.
while, Sanders was running ads that was
and
just
I've
like, donate a dollar so we have a lot of donors.
Oh, yeah, for
you know?
Sure. And I did that
of course.
The first debates, too, because I gave Gillibrand, like, kept sending me ads that she was in danger
dire straits,
of not,
yeah.
not getting the 65,000. And so I, and that was, people were much more upfront about just wanting a dollar from you because they could get in with just the donor threshold.
Exactly.
So, but...
but that's... I feel like for someone like Tom Steyer, if he... if I feel like we are in a moment where... Listen, he doesn't have to be in the debates to run for president.
No, he
doesn't. So he can self-finance himself up a storm.
He could do like Ross Perot did and just buy an hour of television time on all of the networks for like after the immediately after the debates run or the next night and just basically have an hour-long commercial if he wanted to.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
no,
right.
Exactly. So what
you convinced me.
Yeah. See, he'd fuck him.
Fuck him.
If he can't get anyone to donate...
I always thought...
I know you think that in terms of like who you would vote for, but I don't think it's unfair to ask that candidates who are running in a democratic
can get people to give them $1.
Yeah, can get donors if we're what we're trying to avoid specifically is only having billionaire donors be your donors.
Sure.
If that is the case, that Tom Steyer is himself the billionaire donor we're all waiting for.
Right, exactly.
But we could use his money for someone else.
Yes,
you know,
we could.
If he wants
to
donate,
to
he doesn't
it
have. No, exactly. If he wants to contribute to the process and he can't find anyone to donate to his fucking campaign,
right?
He could donate to someone else's campaign.
Right, exactly.
Any case,
there's some long shots.
Yeah.
Gillibrand has one poll, but not the donor threshold. And same with Hickenlooper. I don't even know how he has one poll.
I don't know how Hickenlooper is even being named right now in this story.
Yeah.
Poor Gillibrand, though. She's like...
I know.
This is not going the way that she thought it would.
No, it really isn't.
Well, who would have known when she started running for president that 100,000 people would run and that all of them would be flashier than her?
I know.
It's like... I mean...
Well, and it's interesting, too, because some of these people have had... You know, it seems like... people just sort of like can't get any support solidified, which is like, because she has had good debates. I think she had a good first debate and she had probably some of the better snappier lines in the second debate. And same with Castro.
Right. Who, they just can't seem to, part of the problem is there aren't this many candidates and there also aren't candidates who are like good on a number of issues. So they would be able to stand out on some issue more easily. Whereas right now they're in these debates and there's a few of them that are in there with their own sort of like little issue.
Right.
But then there's also these candidates in there who are just general candidates already.
Right.
You know, like Liz Warren is not specializing in an issue at this point.
Right.
She's good on everything. She has a detailed plan for everything. It's hard for someone to be like, I'm the best candidate for women. And you're like, but she's the best candidate for 16 issues.
Right.
You know, like
I
think that's why you're seeing someone like her kind of with her slow and steady rise is she's not really specializing. We know she's an expert in the sort of consumer and income, you know, based sort of issues. But we also know that she's really like doing the work to set herself apart on a number of issues.
Yeah.
And so the idea that you could come in and be sort of like casually an expert on one thing or have one thing that you're really driving home, it's not in this environment. It's enough to get you some good debate lines, but it's not enough to solidify any support for anything.
What's interesting is that there's a few things. The DNC has said that if there's 10 or fewer candidates, then there will just be one debate. But it seems like for all the world that we could get at least 11 and potentially a 12th and a 13th if a long shot something happens in the next 2.5 weeks. So at that point, are they going to split it up into like
five and six?
Are they going to do 12 on one stage, which would be just like a complete disaster? I'm curious to see how that pans out because it certainly looks like there's going to be more than 10.
Yeah.
I have a feeling if it's 11, then you just throw them all up there and you just
hope.
A wing and a prayer.
Right.
But that it's not.
Which is what we're doing. I mean, at this
that's
point.
That's what it is anyway.
That's right.
They're not, these aren't debates. I mean,
no,
let's be honest.
These are just showcases.
Yeah, exactly.
Candidate showcasing.
Yeah. But the thing that I find to be the most interesting is that the qualifications for the third and the fourth debates are the same.
Yeah.
But you just have longer to qualify for the fourth debate. So we may get what we've been waiting for in the third debate by just only having the best 10 up there. And then we may have to digress for
the
fourth
debate.
The fourth
debate is going to be back to the second debate.
Right. Exactly.
Which is
unfortunate because it just gives Tom Steyer more time. People like him. It just gives everybody more time to get the, you know,
get the donors.
Well,
it
both
also
thresholds.
Means that the third debate is irrelevant.
Sort of.
We're going to watch 3 hours of television for no reason.
Right.
And we're just going to be mad about it.
Yeah.
And we're just, because who can distinguish who's who in any
It may
of these
end
debates?
Up being the best of the first four.
Well, it will be because it will be the most substantial.
Right.
And it'll be the first time that we get to see all the front runners on one stage, hopefully.
Right. What I really hope that they don't do for this one is, like, let's say there's 12 or 13. Do a random 6-6.
I hope if draw. They have to do an undercard. They have.
I think it's time to start the undercard.
I mean, you have to.
And I hate to say that, sort of.
No, I hate undercard.
But we've given the folks the fair shake. I feel like.
Yeah. Also, the fourth debate might have to non-undercard.
They've all been running for 6 months.
Right.
And if you can't get more than 2% in a poll.
Right,
then you get to go to the kitty debate.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, I also just think that if you, like, it is now, we've now watched 12 hours of television where we haven't gotten to see the main front runners
compete on the stage against each other. And it's time.
And it's especially because our main front runner is someone people have so little enthusiasm for.
Right.
We really need to give him a chance to defend himself against the other main frontrunners who have rising enthusiasm. Like,
right.
They all...
And not have any of the boring white guys on stage with him sticking up for him, like Michael Bennett
exactly.
or John Delaney.
He can't have, like, his chorus back there. You need to give the adults a chance to talk.
Right.
Because we have not gotten to see Liz Warren and Joe Biden on a stage together yet.
No.
And
I think that sort of has worked out okay for her so far. But...
It's worked out okay for her, but she... She, like everyone else, deserves a chance to debate with him.
Of course.
You know? And it's like, she is someone who
she's
we should
want. She's
in
second place in a lot of polls.
Exactly. Like, the fact that one of the main frontrunners has been in the sort of, not undercard debate, but the less sort of covered debate both times.
Yeah.
It's like time for us to get to see them on stage together.
Agreed.
In any case. Speaking of Warren.
Yeah.
She now has a gun plan, too. I mean, of course, she has a plan for everything. So,
of course.
You know.
Right.
She released...
And she was always going to have a gun plan.
Of course. Right. She was always going to have an everything plan.
Right.
But this was a good week to release her gun plan.
Yes.
And
she's been smart about that, too.
Yes.
I mean, I can't imagine that she was sort of, like, secretly, you know, waiting around for a mass shooting to drop this.
If she was, you'd never have to wait long.
Well, that's true. I mean, she could have done
it. She could have waited any week.
A lot of...
Yeah.
Right. There's been more than there have been days.
Exactly.
So,
there's always time.
Right.
To release a gun reform plan.
Yeah. But anyway, this is like, I like where she's coming at the plan from. Because she sets a goal of reducing gun deaths by 80% through executive action and legislation. And what she said, you've got to start with a goal. I haven't heard anybody else talk about a goal. And she's right. Everybody has sort of like coming out with a plan and they're saying, let's do this and this. And there's been some good ideas. I'm not saying there haven't been. But she said, this is a quote. She said, what I've heard them talk about is here's one thing we'll do and one thing we'll do and one other thing that we'll do and then we'll quit. But she is basically sort of like, I'm not going to quit until my goal is met. And like, these are the ways that I feel like we can get to that goal.
Well, and that's, I think, really the difference between how she's been approaching campaigning from, you know, the difference between her and everyone else in this race is that she has been kind of in these plans she's been releasing. The reason they seem so complete is because she's been naming goals in them.
Right.
That's a lot of it's crazy because it's so common that people campaign on vague promises that they don't really tell you what they will lead to. And so we don't really like even notice, I don't think, the difference between like that's really what set Bernie Sanders apart from a lot of the field last time was that he was saying, here's what I want to have happen. We can discuss how to get there.
Right.
And Clinton was saying, well, we can't get there, so here's what we should do instead so that we don't ruffle any feathers.
Right.
And that's, like, the Warren is sort of taking the idea of, like, here's where we want to end up and saying, also, here's how we get there so we don't ruffle any feathers, or if we do, here's the plan.
Right.
And that's kind of combining the two things that we needed, which is why everyone's responding to it.
Right.
But no one else is comfortable naming the goal because then they're tied down to positions.
Right.
And how would they change their positions if they had said what they were?
Right. Exactly.
You know, it's like, can Kamala Harris have a strong position on healthcare? Is the goal of her wildest dreams to have private insurers in the Medicare system?
Right.
I mean, that's the goal. That's the biggest she can dream.
I know.
That's the end. Like, it's one thing to say, here's how we get there.
Right.
Which is, I think, what most of these Democrats are saying. And Joe Biden, I think his dream is to have an $1,000 deductible on a public option plan that you don't have to buy into. I think that's I think that is his goal.
Yeah.
But he would never state it as such because he knows that's not the goal people want.
Right.
She is not stating it that way because she knows that's not really the goal people want. Warren is saying, here's the goal and here's the plan.
Right.
And we have both.
Right.
So in any case.
So back to some specifics in her plan. First, she wants to take some immediate administrative action, and some of those things are requiring background checks, investigating the NRA, revoking licenses for gun dealers who have proven to have broken the law before. She is also reiterating her desire to eliminate the filibuster so we can pass gun legislation.
Ooh, imagine
I think
that.
That's... I love that she continues to hit that as an issue because it's...
Well, it's making her job irrelevant. She's in the Senate.
Right.
You know, the Senate is bored right now. Right. They don't have anything to do in there because they never get to vote on anything.
Right. They would love to. She would just love to get to vote.
Yeah. She would just love a chance to do her job, probably.
Right. But it also goes beyond what a lot of people have called for, which is like, obviously it does.
Right.
But she wants to create a federal licensing system, which is more than a lot of people are sort of like going to the states to, you know. But
it's absolutely what we should do.
Yeah, we've talked for, you know, a million times on this podcast why this can't be a state issue.
Right.
She wants to limit the number of firearms someone could buy. She wants to raise the minimum age to 21 for purchasing a gun. She wants to hold gun manufacturers liable, and even in some cases holding gun industry CEOs personally liable. She also wants to raise taxes for gun manufacturers from 10 to 30% on guns and from 11 to 50% on ammunition.
That's smart.
That is smart, yes. And
it's like Chris Rock's plan.
Right, you can't have
the $5,000 bullet. Right, all the guns you want. If you can't buy ammunition,
yeah,
then you can't shoot guns.
Yeah, and then she mentioned this in the first debate, and we kind of, you know, dinged her, and we weren't the only ones for talking about gun research, but we sort of told you why that was important. She said that she wants to plan for $100 million into gun violence research because annually, because we can't currently do that.
Right. We are restricted in our ability to research gun violence as a public health concern.
Right.
And because gun violence is a public health concern, it really restricts our ability to research the effects of gun violence in total.
Right. She also called on Walmart to stop selling guns.
Right, which
a lot of Democrats have been doing recently because...
And actually, this is an area, not specifically with Walmarts and guns, but this is an area where Democrats calling on companies to make changes like this has been, Bernie Sanders has gotten raises for people at Walmart and Amazon. And this is like an area where I think Democrats can actually take action without being harnessed by the, you know, hampered by the legislative process, because they have been kind of effective at making some of these changes without policy.
Yeah, no, I think you're right.
You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously Walmart should stop selling guns.
Well, they should. I think instead they're going to stop selling video games.
They are, yes. Well, because you know how this has all been caused by video games. Well, despite the fact that every country on Earth plays video games and only one of them has this gun violence problem. But it was the video games here, obviously. That we're just weak in the face of a computer action sequence. I wish, though, the one thing that's missing from her plan that I wish was in everyone's plan and think is my only gun control tenet I currently care about.
Yeah.
Aside from melting all the guns,
sure.
Is they should require insurance. You should have to insure your guns. They are deadly weapons. Like your car, they are a deadly weapon. And I have a genius plan that I've been talking about with my mom for years, where we take the healthcare system and make it a Medicare for all system, and we give the insurance industry guns. That gives them something to do with their spare time. After they are not health insuring us.
Yes.
Because this is a better deal for them.
Yeah.
The problem with health insurance is that everyone requires a payout at some point. Everyone will get sick.
Right.
There is no one, you might get lucky and have them get sick at their next insurer, but there is no one on earth who doesn't ultimately face a health problem where your insurance company has to pay out. So dealing with health insurance as an insurance system is insane. Because there is no, like, with a car, there is a chance you just won't crash your car and you'll drive it for 20 years and then you'll retire.
Right, I was going to say.
You pay them every month and they just take your money, and some of those cars don't require anything back from them.
Right.
That's how the system works.
Right.
But we all know they have an equal chance of potentially needing money, and that's why we pay into the system.
Yeah.
Guns are like that. Any gun could injure someone, but many of them won't.
And so
it's free money for an insurance company, because most of the guns, I would say, probably won't require an insurance payout.
Right.
But the ones that do will require huge expenses.
Yep.
That if gun owners love each other so much and love the right to bear arms so much, they should be willing to pool risk that way so that they can protect each other from these costs.
Yep.
And this is a much more lucrative industry for the insurance companies to get into.
Yeah.
Because this is free money for the most part, you know? And it follows the same logic as established insurance industry practices that we have in other fields.
Yeah.
You know? It is actually where insurance is needed.
Yeah.
Health insurance is a crazy concept because, like we said, everyone has health.
We all have health, right.
And it fails. It fails for everyone. No one is just perfectly healthy and never needs any health care ever in their life.
Right.
So there is an inevitable endpoint where it's not profitable, and that's why it's so expensive.
Yeah.
This is exactly what insurance is meant to do, though. It pulls the risk of a thing that is a risk, but it's not a definitive risk.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like health where you definitely will get sick at some point. With a gun, your gun might just sit in a locker for the rest of your life and never be touched.
Right.
You might go hunting every weekend for the rest of your life and never injure somebody.
Yep.
You also might shoot yourself in the foot or someone with you in the foot by accident.
Yeah.
You know, you might not intend to injure someone with your gun, but you might.
Yep.
But there's no guarantee that you will need the insurance payout. But there is a guarantee that paying what the damage of the gun causes would be too expensive for you to handle personally.
Right.
And so give them that.
Yeah,
hand,
I like it.
Hand Blue Shield and Aetna and Kaiser and all this bullshit.
Gun insurance.
Hand them gun insurance.
Yeah.
Let them live it up. Let them, because you know what would happen if we insured guns? Assault weapons would be too expensive to insure.
Yeah.
Because they can cause so much damage. There is no way that the insurance industry would want to insure those.
Yeah.
And if they couldn't be insured, then they shouldn't be legal.
Yeah.
You know, you shouldn't be allowed to have one that's not insured. So
yeah.
If you can afford to pay $1 billion dollars for
your
insurance for
your
weapons
right.
of war,
yep.
then at least there's a fund that pays out when you injure everyone.
Yep.
But then you have the right to bear arms.
Sure.
And obviously we should make sure that crazy people don't have guns still.
Well, right,
but that would
course.
Also not be insurable. If they love private industry so much, let private industry restrict the guns instead of letting us restrict the guns. If that's what needs to happen in order to restrict access to guns,
sure.
the insurance industry would do it for us.
Yeah.
They do not want to insure a crazy person to have an automatic weapon
right.
so they can shoot up a fucking school.
Yeah.
That would be uninsurable.
Yeah.
And so it should be impossible to end up in that situation because you will not be insured. Anyways,
yeah.
I don't know why no one is proposing that. It's a way for private industry to make money off this problem.
I'm into
what
it.
Is more American than that?
Right.
In any case.
Anyway, Joe Biden has a bold plan.
Yeah.
On guns.
His plan is to push but not guarantee an assault weapon ban. He has not been in the Times today where he says, don't worry, assault weapons bans work, and I'll push for one. Won't promise anything, but I'll certainly give it the old college try.
Bold plans.
Bold plans from Joe Biden.
Yes.
He's a man famous for bold plans.
Sure.
That's every one of his plans so far has been nothing short of visionary. That's why keeping the same insurance we have is his plan for health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Not doing anything super different on the national security front is his plan for national
right.
security.
Yep.
Being angry at Donald Trump is his plan for winning the election. Which
doing Obamacare a second time.
Doing Obamacare a second time is his health care plan. Yeah, I mean, he's got lots of ideas.
Sure.
They're all ideas that we don't need to have anymore because
right.
they're currently in action.
Right.
In any case, here's the thing. The Senate has to vote on gun control if we want to have gun control, and they're just
right.
not doing it.
They're not doing it. They've acted more like they might than they ever have.
That's true.
Which is still not very much.
I think it's because Mitch McConnell is in a weakened state because he broke his shoulder last weekend.
I think so, too. Yes.
I think he's on drugs.
Yeah. Well, and I also think that there are a lot of sort of like people who think that now would be the time to do it because, A, any time is a good time to do it. But also, and we've talked about this quite a while ago on the podcast, but the NRA is in shambles right now.
Right.
So they sort of don't, they still have sort of probably the amount of money influence that they have had before, but they're also, they don't have the same sort of like, you know, strength and powerful stance that they have often had. So it's like, if the reason that you haven't been doing it is because you just can't get them off your back, you might be able to sneak it through right now.
Right. This is the time. This is your window.
Yeah.
And the House has passed some measures.
Right. Background checks.
Yeah.
And the
simple stuff.
Right. And Democrats have been demanding that McConnell bring back the Senate because they're in recess right now
right.
to vote on the House bill. And of course, he's not going to be doing that. But he has said that they're going to be looking at some things, that included.
Thank God.
What they're probably going to do is they're going to pass Lindsey Graham's red flag
right.
law, which, look, in a few cases, would have actually helped.
Yeah. Well, and also,
neither
we're not here to argue that any improvement to the current system is not
right,
a good
exactly.
improvement.
And those,
we're in no position to
right.
say that we shouldn't do something.
Right, and what that law is basically just sort of like allowing states to sort of like be more forceful in taking away guns from people who we know have shown red flags.
Right.
That's why it's called
yeah.
red flags law. So if they have been domestic abuse.
Right.
And many
of these people who commit mass shootings
have
a history of domestic
of
abuse.
So that would be great. It certainly is probably the least among the list of things
well,
that
of
you
course.
Could do. But look, if they're going to vote on that, then God bless them.
Right. But let's get some, let's get a law in there.
I have a feeling that they probably won't even do that.
I think you're
because
right.
Because I can't decide whether it's a good thing that they're on recess right now because they can just run out the clock, or if it's a, a good thing for them that right. for not having to do anything. But also, they're on recess right now, so you could go, it's easier for you to go talk directly to them.
Yeah.
About
no,
this.
They are probably holding town halls.
Right.
If
we
they're
told
not,
you last week you to go pester them about
impeachment.
And while you're there, you could pester them about this.
Well, and I would imagine that actually being in your home district is the worst place to be when something like this happens. Because in Washington, you can pretend like you're busy with important Washington business and that you couldn't get to it.
Right.
Whereas if you're home and you're not doing a town hall, people will be like, dude, where's your town hall?
Yep.
And if you are doing a town hall, people will show up at that town hall and be like, why aren't you doing anything about this? And you'll have to explain to a room full of angry people why there just isn't political will to do. But that's why I've been advocating we need to stop blaming Donald Trump for this, because this problem predates him. He's problematic in many ways.
Oh, for sure.
But you need to go to your own representatives and say, it is your responsibility to fix this. It's not Donald Trump's responsibility to fix this. It is your responsibility to fix this. You represent me.
Right.
You have to do something. Yeah. Like, don't tell me that because Donald Trump is a destructive influence, we can't do this thing. It is actually your job to do it.
Right. And Donald Trump, while I think probably has very little appetite to actually do this, has publicly mentioned on multiple occasions that he would be in favor of background checks. Now, I don't know if he just didn't know what he was saying at
the time. Well, usually that's
it. But I can all but guarantee you, if a background check bill came to his desk, he would probably sign it. He might not know what he was doing.
Right.
But, like, I gotta believe that,
and
like,
also,
if that
if he doesn't sign it,
to him,
then it's his
fault. Right,
then we can talk about how it's his fault.
Right.
But let's not put the cart before the horse.
Right.
If it is Congress's fault until it's Trump's fault.
Right.
And
yes,
they are
correct.
Currently trying to pass the buck onto him,
right.
like, because he's such an asshole and crazy.
And when we say Congress, we mean the Senate, because the
right.
House has already passed some stuff.
Exactly.
Right.
Right. But this is something that your representatives are empowered to do.
Yeah.
It's not something that Donald Trump, who doesn't think he represents most of us,
right.
is empowered to
and
do.
And you don't have much access to him anyway, but you do your own Congress people.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. So it's something that I think we should, when you are at a town hall. Because the other thing that happens is when there becomes, even if only certain members are getting desperate pleas from their constituents, they could figure out how to get other people on board.
Yeah, true.
Then it becomes a priority for them. Like, right now, it's not really a priority for the Democrats.
Right.
Because they want to do something, but it's like only a couple of them are really vocal on the issue.
Yeah.
And the rest of them are kind of hoping that no one will talk to them about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Even if your congressperson is just a run-of-the-mill Adam Schiff, just a run-of-the-mill kind of guy.
Sure.
Like, if you go to a town hall with him and you're like, no, there is actually no excuse that you can give me that is acceptable to me. If you are there, I'm not there, figure it out.
Yeah.
Make some friends. I don't care what you fucking
right.
do.
Yeah.
But figure it out.
Yeah.
Then he has to go back and at least try to figure something out.
Yeah.
Which is more than I would assume he's currently doing.
Right.
You know? So,
yeah.
Yeah. Also, listen. If you were wondering, Mitch McConnell and his supporters are not the nicest people.
No, obviously.
His campaign has run into some hot water.
Yeah.
First, they tweeted a photo of some satirical tombstones.
Yes.
It was one featuring Amy McGrath's name. That's his
opponent in
2020. This all happened right after the shooting in El Paso.
Yeah, this was day after.
One was Merrick Garland.
Sure.
I mean.
Yeah.
One was socialism.
Uh-huh.
And one was the Green New Deal. What
I don't know
is
how,
going
I don't
on?
Know, I don't know how he's killed that yet.
Right.
Because
he hasn't killed the Green New Deal.
It hasn't yet been born.
He might be causing socialism.
Sure.
He did kill Merrick Garland's chances to be on the Supreme Court, but I don't know if I would be proud of that if I were him.
Right.
And he hasn't yet killed Amy McGrath.
No.
Because
I think the date was listed as like the day after the election. But I mean, yes.
But I mean, that was a bold.
Yeah.
And rude.
But it was like, really? Tombstones?
Like
the day after 30 people just died?
It's just too tacky. But then also, a group of guys wearing Team Mitt shirts.
Right. From the same event. Because those tombstones were placed like at this thing called the, which is like this huge picnic. It's called Fancy Farms. in Kentucky, and it's like this big event that they have every year, basically. And so, like, he spoke at it actually himself, and hilariously was interrupted by Moscow Mitch chants.
I love it.
So good work.
And this is a conservative event.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So that's pretty amazing.
Good work.
I think
Kentucky.
That will be the thing that gets him. The Moscow Mitch is catching on.
It is.
You hear it everywhere now. He hates it.
All more reason to really bring it.
He's the one who exists in the real political system. Donald Trump is like in fairy tale land.
Sure.
Mitch McConnell is in the actual system.
Yeah.
He's the one he could end this single-handedly. Like, he's the one who can end it.
Yep.
So bring on Moscomech. In any case, it was a group of supporters of his with cardboard cutout of AOC. Why was that at that event?
I don't know, because they brought it.
Obviously, they were only there to use it in this way,
which
was to grope it and then mock choking it.
Yes.
In a picture.
Right. So they wanted to both fuck it and kill it.
That's right. Yes. Well, that's how they feel about many women, I would assume, on Team Mitch.
So. Yes.
But his campaign manager, McConnell's campaign manager, Kevin Golden, said that Democrats were working to demonize high schoolers.
Oh, sure.
These young men are not campaign staff. They're high schoolers, and it's incredible that the national media has sought to once again paint a target on their backs rather than report real and significant news in our country.
Mm. Yes.
This is the culture of Team Mitch.
Yes.
By the way, you guys.
Yeah.
He doesn't note that what they did was inappropriate.
Right.
In the quote. He just tells us we should stop talking about how inappropriate it was.
Correct. And demonizing high schoolers.
Exactly.
Right. I think the person who posted that picture actually apologized.
I mean,
it's like the high schoolers are doing better than their senator.
Exactly. Right. That's.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we might have secretly started impeachment hearings.
But also maybe we didn't.
But we didn't.
Too.
They're playing it both ways, basically, in
That's
the House.
Exactly
they're confused.
What they're trying to do.
They're trying to play it both ways because.
They have escalated things.
Yes.
So I'm not here to deny that. But I also am not going to deny that they're just playing games with semantics.
Yeah. Well, because basically what they're trying to do, here's the deal. The Judiciary Committee wants to start impeachment hearings.
Right.
Jerry Nadler is in favor of starting impeachment hearings, and Nancy Pelosi is not.
Right.
And so what they're doing instead is claiming that they're doing an impeachment inquiry without making anyone go on the record and vote about whether they want to start impeachment
hearings.
Right.
And the reason that they're doing that is because they're trying to use it as like a bit of a workaround to have the courts side with them on some of these lawsuits that they filed.
But here's the thing. Fuck the courts. The courts are not our answer.
Right, you're
we
the
are
court.
The people we're waiting for, right. As they say.
That's it.
Congress is the people we're waiting for.
Right, you are the court that will be able to impeach someone.
Right, you're the act. You're the court that matters here.
That's right.
Don't send bullshit through the courts so that we can catch him in some legal... He loves being sued.
Right, I know.
The courts are his home.
Yeah.
You, Congress, are the people.
Yeah.
You're the only ones.
Right.
Don't, if we go through the courts, it's just so that everyone can be like, well, it wasn't me, it was the courts.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. We want it to be us. It has to be us.
Yes.
We have to show that the American people didn't want this.
Right.
Not that a judge somewhere didn't want this because he's an asshole and, you know, Trump can then say he should go back to where he came from or, you know, whatever bullshit he's going to say about the judges. It has to be that the American people did it.
Yeah.
In any case. So Nadler is sort of walking around like they've started impeachment hearings,
and
Pelosi
is
walking around like they haven't, and no one knows what's happening.
He is in favor of it, for the most part, but I think he's trying to, like you said, he's trying to have it both ways, because like Pelosi is still not yet there, although she has supposedly like greenlit like the language of impeachment, like when they're sort of like requesting things and like trying to file suits and things like that.
I think that they're going to come back from recess with some new thoughts.
I think
because I think they are hearing about this. From everyone.
Right. And well, there's already, as we have mentioned before, there's already more than 50% of Democrats in the House are in favor of it.
Yeah.
And there's no way that more of them aren't going to be when they return.
Well, but also, so that we remind everyone again, we're talking about the ability to start the hearings where we find out if he should be impeached.
Right.
We're not saying he should be impeached.
Right. We're not
hearing.
Trying to take an impeachment vote of the whole House. Like,
no,
that's not,
we're trying to take a vote where people are in favor of us finding out. This is how we took Nixon down, was by doing the hearings.
Yes.
The hearings are where the public learned the information that made them think maybe Richard Nixon shouldn't be the president.
Right.
And then he resigned because he was too chicken shit to deal with the rest of the process. But this is how it starts.
Yeah.
If you don't have the information and you don't have the must-see TV that goes along with the information, then you don't win the battle, because the battle then is won by the guy who has the most Twitter followers.
Right.
So in any case, they're starting to shift slowly.
Right.
It's starting
to become
clear. It has to happen.
I was going to say, it is a shift. So, I'm not going to sit here and rage about it. But, it's certainly not the shift that we would need. But it seems like there's some movement. There's some quiet escalation.
It's, I think, becoming inevitable. Because what else are we going to do about this guy? Like, what else is Congress empowered to do? That's the thing. Like, they can go to court all day and night, but if they can't get this guy out of office in the courts, which they can't because he's above the law,
right,
according to fake constitutional law,
right,
then what is the point?
Yeah.
So that we can know that he shouldn't be doing things he is doing unabashedly? Like, that doesn't help anyone.
Right.
The thing that we need to do is show that whether or not the law says that this is acceptable, that the people don't say it's acceptable.
Correct.
We are the law.
That's right.
The law...
in this case.
...is us.
Right.
So we get to... the reason an impeachment proceeding is in here is literally to avoid a tyrant taking over.
Right.
Remember the guys who wrote the Constitution? They were pissed at the king.
Yes.
And they didn't want a king.
Right.
And they didn't want an authoritarian leader, which is what a king is.
Right.
And so they thought to themselves, what if an asshole ends up in the presidency?
Right.
What are we going to do?
Yeah. And they also, and that is the reason that they specifically did not say what you could be impeached for.
Exactly.
And you don't have to have broken the
law.
No,
it can just, if the American people decide.
A misdemeanor.
Right. You could have not paid a parking ticket.
Stolen something from 7-Eleven.
Exactly.
Right. Yes.
But the reason they don't say is because it is up to the American people and their representatives to decide what is acceptable action. To remove a, you know, what is an acceptable crime to remove a president from office on the basis of, and, or to at least recommend removal, because obviously, as we've said many times, the Senate actually removes him from office. The House, voting for impeachment is bullshit.
Right.
It's just a way of showing that the American people don't believe that this man is fit to be the president.
Right.
So, if you at least do your part as the House, then we can have a conversation about the Senate, which isn't going to do anything anyway, but at least then we've done our part and said that the American people don't approve of this kind of behavior. His behavior is not acceptable.
Right.
He's invited a foreign power to interfere in our elections.
Yes.
He's messing with my vote.
Yeah.
Which is, I think that's what my mom's basically going around being like, I don't care what the rest of you think. My vote is being messed with, and that's where I draw the line.
Good. Yes.
You know? Yeah. I mean, that's, he is messing with your vote.
Yep.
So that should not be acceptable to us.
Correct.
And that is why you start fucking impeachment hearings.
There
Do
it
the
is.
Hearings. It would be great television. And Trump loves great television.
Right?
It would get great ratings and he'd be the star of it.
Right.
So, like, I think in many ways this is the best thing that could happen to him.
Yeah.
And it's also the best thing that could happen to us, the American people, who need a chance to say whether or not you have broken some sort of specific law.
Yeah.
This isn't acceptable.
Exactly.
In any case.
And summer TV is boring.
Summer TV. There's nothing on right now.
Right. I'm literally spending 4 hours a week watching Bachelor in Paradise.
Yeah, and that's a sad indictment of the state of the world right now anyway. I don't even know what to think about that. Somebody asked me something about The Bachelor the other day where just understanding the basic premise was important. And I was like, I think I maybe don't even understand the basic premise. I mean, I understand the basic premise, but like the sort of like what they do once they're all there. I have literally no idea.
Wow.
And I turned out I didn't want to find out.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we have an I Told You So for the very end.
Oh my gosh.
Of the podcast.
Because, I forgot about this story.
Yeah. So Brent and I are both being targeted by news about single payer healthcare.
Yeah,
for reasons you might not be surprised.
Yeah. And you know what? We're fine to bring that news to you.
Yeah.
I don't care.
No. This is.
It's not fake news.
It was news.
So, right.
It was a poll that was done. So, you know. So. This is a poll of people who get employer
right. Well, it was a poll.
It
was a poll of basically
of
anyone
people.
Of all people, and then sort of they
was it
they,
from like Business Insider or something?
Yeah, and then they polled specific groups, like depending on sort of like what type of insurance you had.
Yeah.
So basically, the first question was
what
type of insurance do you have?
Right.
So, all of the people who had insurance through their employers, of those people, 60% of respondents said that they would be fine switching to a government insurance plan under Medicare for All. That would be completely 100% acceptable to them as long as there wasn't a change in coverage. Which
now,
there might be better coverage.
Well, I was going to say, the only change that could possibly result would be better coverage.
Right, yes.
But basically, this is what we've been saying, which is this talking point that Democrats routinely use to say you can keep your health insurance if you love it is bullshit. Nobody loves their health insurer. No one has brand loyalty to their health insurer. People don't have an option but to have an insurer, so they might have preferences. They might be scared of losing their coverage, which is usually what people are proposing when they're proposing changes. All they care about, though, is that they can go to the fucking doctors that they go to and like.
Right, and that backs up other a million different polls that have been done on this.
Right.
You know, no one has any brand loyalty to their healthcare company.
No.
Literally no one.
No one.
No one is like, oh, man, but if I could really just keep my Aetna, then, like, everything would be great.
Right.
Like, that's not a thing that,
Here's
humans are
what
out there saying.
Humans are saying. if I could keep my Aetna because my doctor is in their network,
right.
that would be great.
Or if I could just be sure to
see that doctor.
Or to, right, to continue to be insured in any
in a
way.
In a way, right. right.
Yes.
That is another thing.
Those are the things that are important to people.
But also, the only group that didn't want to vote for a plan change were people that are already on Medicare.
That was hilarious. 28% of the people in this poll said that they were on Medicare. And that was the only group of people, by a long shot, actually,
yeah.
that did not want to change their plan.
Right.
57% of people loved their plan, and only 14% of people didn't like it. And the rest of the percentage, which is 29%, said that they would be fine if it changed as long as it changed to the same coverage. So yeah. assuming they're on Medicare and we just go to Medicare for all,
then
they would be
fine
with
Medicare.
That. So 86% of people who have Medicare want to keep it.
Yeah. Well, this is what you would find for years. We've been hearing old ladies shout in Republican town halls, get your government hands off my Medicare.
My Medicare, right.
That's it's people
so
love
good.
Medicare.
Yeah.
Medicare is great.
Right.
It works great for everyone because it's an easy health insurance plan to have where you can get medical care.
Yeah. And the group that was underwater on this, there were 12% of people in this poll who had directly purchased their health insurance, presumably from the marketplace.
Exchange,
exchange or whatever. Only 39% of those people loved their plan.
Yeah.
The rest of them either hated it or would be fine if it changed.
Yeah. I would be thrilled if my plan changed as a person who purchases their health insurance directly because it's fucking awful.
Right.
No matter what plan you get as a private purchaser, it's fucking awful.
Yeah.
Like, this is why I, you know, this is why Liz Warren said in that last debate, we have to stop using Republican talking points to talk about healthcare.
Yeah.
We have to stop using the implication. People are afraid to lose their employer-based health insurance because they know the alternative is worse right now.
Right.
There
exactly.
is no better alternative. There is, we have never in our lifetimes lived in a world where there was a better alternative than your employer insurance.
Right.
That's why they're having trouble imagining it. Because right. if you're not 65, then you don't know about the glories of Medicare. And you can't even imagine how glorious it is because you don't have any way of finding out.
Yeah.
And if you are under 65, your option is to either die in a gutter or have mediocre employer insurance. So when someone says, we're going to change your employer insurance,
right.
you're like, well, fuck.
Yeah.
That insurance is
right.
already terrible. Like, what's right. going to be worse now?
Right.
You know, and then you hear Republican talking
points. Or I'm not going to have it.
Right. Or I'm not going to have it.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I mean, that's like, I want to be able to see my doctor. You know,
okay, great.
Which is, yeah. I think, that is what people are really responding to when you yeah. ask them whether they like their insurance.
Well, and that's why there was such outrage.
They like their network.
Obama said, if you like your doctor, you're going to get to keep it. And then some people couldn't. That
right.
was why, that was the biggest outrage with Obamacare.
Yeah.
If you think back to all of the problems that happened
was because we didn't have a national healthcare system.
Right.
We continued to have private networks.
Right.
And in a private network, I mean, I know as someone who's been on 4 health insurance plans in the last 4 years,
right.
every time that
some
your
doctors aren't going to
network shifts, you got to change doctors.
Right.
And sometimes you pay more to stay in a network that is just for one doctor,
right.
which is what I'm doing now. Like, these are all things that don't exist in a single payer system.
Right.
Because the doctors are just the doctors.
Well, right. And we've said this before, but we should say it again too. You know, I've been at the same company for 16 years.
Right.
I've had to change my doctor probably 5 times.
Yeah.
And it's because my employer healthcare continues to change.
Exactly. Because it gets more expensive. And so they switch to a different
right.
insurance. And then you went on Kaiser at one point. Like, that,
yeah.
that's, I mean, Brent has had to change whole hospital systems.
Correct.
In yes. his continued employment with one right. employer that
with
he's had
employer.
His whole life.
Right.
So it's not like you're protected as an employee
no.
from any of this stuff.
And it could change at any point.
It could change at
any
point.
It could change tomorrow.
I have had jobs where my insurance changed and the benefits got worse, even though I was being compensated the same amount.
Well, that's what every single change that we've had
of course,
is because it's
yeah.
been getting more expensive. So they just go down to the like
right.
more
and
trashy
that
one.
And that alters
you.
Your
yeah.
compensation because
yeah,
your insurance is part of your compensation. So
yes.
they are giving you a pay cut by doing that.
Yeah.
And that is something that we put up with as Americans because we have no alternative.
Right.
But imagine if we could.
Right.
Imagine that world. In any case, everyone agrees with us, it turns out.
Yeah.
And if you don't agree with us, it's because you literally don't know enough about the issue to agree with us. Because
right.
you would agree with us if
educate
you...
educate yourself.
And like, fully... this is like one issue where I'm just like... I usually... You know, there's issues where there's rooms for us to just have differences of opinion.
Sure.
This is one issue where when someone has a difference of opinion with me, I'm like, oh, you actually don't know much about the health
right.
insurance
yeah,
industry.
Right. Let me talk to you for 5
yeah.
minutes.
Because like, that's one thing that as somebody who is sort of a full-time healthcare advocate at this point...
Right.
I have for years been having to understand how healthcare laws impact people who are in a high-risk pool.
Right.
And so I know a lot about that. But because of that, I'm sort of like, oh, there's like all this stuff that you wouldn't know unless you were in my position that you would need to know why advocating for the system we have is insane.
Yeah.
And most people just don't know enough because why would they?
Yeah.
But you learn the hard way. Everyone yes. eventually learns the hard way.
Right.
So in any case, that's the news this week.
Yeah.
Stay tuned.
Follow us on social media.
We are going to be taking Iowa by storm.
That's right.
We're going to be politicizing all over the place.
Yep.
We're going to probably have opinions. We're going to share those opinions with you. And we will be late next week because of that.
Yeah.
But we'll be back on track. And then in two weeks, we're going to have someone come on who is running for state senate up just that's a little right. north yes. of here to talk a little bit about what it's like to start up a campaign.
I love that.
Because maybe some of you guys are interested in that.
Yeah.
So we'll talk to you next week. Bye.